Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're continuing our series on judging our thoughts and intentions of the heart. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So let's go back to our foundation text, Hebrews chapter 4, and look at verse 12, judging our thoughts and intentions of our heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of God, getting the word of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick, King James says, meaning it is living, alive, and constantly operating. That's quick. And it is powerful or active. It's operational. And piercing, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, the deepest part of our nature, and able to judge, expose, sift, analyze, determine good or bad, every single thought, that which we ponder, reflect, and the intentions, the conceptions of our heart. That ought to scare you enough to be up out of here or embrace it and say, thank you, Lord. Amen. To the Philistine back there in affirm, thank you, Lord. I want that. Because of what sin did to us, we cannot do anywhere near this. Because we're going to always, because of sin sick souls, we're going to always give ourselves a clean slate, a pass. Our grade is going to always be A. And in the eyes of God, it's an E or an F, whatever, depending on what area you grew up in. It's failure. But thank God for the word of God.
Yes.
And if we truly, seriously take it to heart, he will judge those thoughts. And when he judges them and they come up ugly, we'll accept it. Mm-hmm. It's okay, Lord, I need to not think that way again. And he does it on the fly, too. And remember, the growth looks like this. When you come in Christ Jesus and you're in the earlier stages of growth as a spiritual person, you know, like to say the first half, I'm not saying only three phases, but I kind of broke it down like this. So when you're in the earlier stages of growth, early, you do something wrong on Monday and you hear about it, you finally hear the Holy Spirit on Friday. Well, at least you heard, did it wrong. As you continue to grow, you do something wrong on Monday, hear about it on Wednesday. Getting better. As you continue to grow, you do something wrong on Monday, hear about it Monday afternoon. But here's the ultimate. On the adult side of spiritual growth, you hear the Lord before you do it.
Yes.
And then you don't do it.
Yes.
You see the progression.
Yes.
So don't beat yourself up too tough.
Amen.
If you're still hearing it. Now, I'm going to be mad at you if you're doing it on Monday, you're hearing it on Friday. Like, okay, now we ought to be hitting a little closer than that. Now. But we really want to get to that point where he's analyzing something before we act on that thought. Are you with me?
Yes.
Amen.
That's what we want.
Yes.
And he'll do it.
Yes.
Won't he do it?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Okay, so again, we're talking about the Word of God. When we talk about that the Word of God judges, we're saying that God himself is judging, right? For God and his Word are one. Think about that. We said the Word of God is living because God is living. So his Word is alive. God's word is eternal because he's eternal. It's forever settled because he's forever settled. There's no changing in God. And you know what? Thank God for that. Our friends change, our cousins change, uncles, aunties, they change. I'm going to be there and not going to be there. I'm going to call, you don't ever call. Or they, I'm not going to call, they don't call him. You just can't trust and be faithful in that. But God, he is faithful.
Amen.
And he never changes. I mean, his word is forever true. This sliding morality is not of God.
Amen.
Word of life. A subjective truth is not of God. It's demonic. God has a set morality. And God's truth is an objective, baseline, foundational truth. You can build your life on that truth. That's the word that is living, and piercing and analyzing us in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
The word of God reveals the true nature of our thoughts, intentions, motivations, and desires. You've gone over all of that, but it's still just good to hear all of that again. It penetrates, it dissects, it sifts through our innermost being.
Yes.
Remember, that's the real us? We've been talked about that. And so we are made up of two selves, two lives, two personas in a sense. And one is a false representation of who we really are, and the other is our inward true self. And we've been dealing with our true real self now for a few weeks. I think we stopped at, well, let's still reviewing Proverbs 23:26. Remember that one? Give me your heart, my son. Remember that one? No, you all might have been going that Wednesday. Yeah, give me your heart. I might do my Wednesday. We get over that. So let's go. Proverbs 23:26. Boy, these are. Let's go back to Psalm 51. Let's go Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 6. Glory be to God in the highest. It's great to understand that who we really are. We are spirit beings first and foremost, and our spirit being of the real us is responsible for keeping our flesh in check.
Amen.
That's great to understand it like that. Our spirit being is responsible for keeping our flesh in check. We're responsible for that. I can't hand my flesh off to, you know, Miss Denise and she, you know, take care of that. Nope. You're responsible for keeping your flesh in check. I'm responsible for keeping mine in check. The real us. Psalm 51, verse 6. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being. That's the real us. And in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. Wow. Godly wisdom dwells where? In you. The real you. The innermost being. 7, purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Is he talking about the physical body, outward body? He's talking about spirit. Where truth, God desires truth in our innermost being. And in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. Look at Job 38, Job 38. Verse 36. Job 38, who has put wisdom in the innermost being or given understanding to the mind? And what's the answer? God has. Where does God put wisdom in the innermost being? In us. And where does he give understanding to our mind? Is it not safe to say then, how does the Holy Spirit, let me talk about that. How does the Holy Spirit communicate with us? To our spirit being, our real us. Look at Proverbs. Psalm chapter 5, verse 9. This is all still review. Psalm 5th chapter, the 9th verse. Psalm the 5th chapter and the 9th verse. There's nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Look. There's nothing reliable in what they say. Why? Because the real them is destruction itself. You see that? So who you really are is what's being manifest eventually. This is looking at the real self of a person on the negative side. That's why I threw that one in there. Because the real self is the real self. I mean, there's no getting around that. Look at Proverbs 23, verse 26. Still by way of review. Proverbs 23, verse 26. Proverbs 23, verse 26. I think this is where we stopped last time. I think maybe one couple. I don't know. Verse 26 of Proverbs 23. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. Give me your what? Heart. Who is that? You. Give me you. That's who God desires. He wants us. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Matthew 5:21. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. Whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Stop right there. What is the root of murder? Anger. So where did Jesus do? Went right to the inside, the real you, the real person. Murder is a result of the real you getting out of control. Jesus went to the heart. Murder just didn't happen on the outside, it started on the inside. I know this ice Eskimos, but it bears repeating. And so when we are starting to get some type of way on the inside of us, that's where that grown Christian hears the Lord saying, you're starting to rise up. Either take yourself out of the situation. Make sure you don't say nothing while you're feeling this way. He'll coach you through that. Amen. So that you don't get to that outward act and therefore dishonor God. You know, you can dishonor him on the inside too, depending on, you can be angry and sin not, but you can be angry and sin too. So you want to hear the Lord say, hey, you need to stop that now. You're not right now. And when he tells us that, we must be mature enough to go ahead and do that, not let our flesh take over, meaning emotions take over, amen? Amen. Look at Matthew 5 again. Slide down to verse 27. You know this one too. You have heard that it was said, Matthew 5, 27, you shall not commit adultery. That's the outward act. But Jesus goes to the heart of the matter, no pun intended. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery. Where? With her in his heart. That's the real inward man. Jesus went by the external outward act. Jesus went by all of that. This is the external body. He went right here to the heart of the matter. No pun intended again. This is the real us, the real self. Otherwise known as, from scripture, one of them is our inner man, or our innermost being, or our inward part, or the heart. All of those are synonyms for the real us. Does that make sense? That's why, saints of God, don't ever be fooled in thinking just because your body's not doing things don't mean that you're okay. How many know that Jesus is saying inward thoughts, inward motives, inward intentions, inclinations, and conceptions can be dishonoring to God and are just as much sin as the outward act? That's what Jesus is teaching here. The Pharisees were content with their body not doing things. See, if you, well, hey, I haven't physically laid down with a woman and had sex with her and she was not my wife. But Jesus said, hey, just to think about it. And God's economy of things is adultery. You see the difference between behind that. Does not God see the heart? We read that in Samuel somewhere. I know Samuel he was talking to. He said to Samuel that God sees, a man sees not as God sees. Man sees not as God sees. For man sees the outside, but God sees the heart. And so in seeing that, we need to make sure that we keep that holy before God, because we recognize he can see in the heart. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, still talking about the real self, the real us, the us. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. All of that is the inward. You see that? Love him with everything you are, that you are. The real you. Heart, mind, soul is all inward. And matter of fact, if you want to be technical about it, really that makes up the inner man, the heart, the mind, and the soul. Or of synonyms for the inward man. He didn't say, I mean, if you love him with all your heart, mind, and soul, then you're going to honor him with your body as well, which is what 1 Corinthians 6 talks about, that you're to honor, glorify God in your body. Well, the way you do that is to love him with all your heart, mind, and soul. Does that make sense? Think about that. If you take the real you, your heart, mind, and soul, and love God with all of that, then you're going to glorify God in your body. That makes sense. Thank you, Father. Look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 39. Am I going too fast? I'm going fast. I'm sorry. Slow me down. Okay, so what are you writing down, Luke, now? Okay, Luke chapter 11, verse 39. Sometimes I don't feel it, and sometimes I do. So if I'm going a little fast, let me know. Let me slow it down. Luke chapter 11, verse 39. Okay. But the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but inside of you, you are full of robbery and wickedness. Now he says, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but inside of you, the real you, where you really reside, you're full of robbery and wickedness. He said, I don't care what you look like out here, this body, I see the inside. I see your inner being. I see your heart and mind, your soul. Because that's who you really are before God. We need to really understand that statement right there. That's who we really are before God, inwardly. Not the faking of the people, outwardly. Jesus said, you clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but inside of you, you're full of robbery and wickedness. Look at that analogy. Beautiful parable. It's like washing dishes, and you just, you know, your child cleans all the cups outside, beautiful and clean, and clean one side of the platter and just puts everything out there where you can just see just that. You wonder, why is flies buzzing in the, what the world? Come here, little Johnny, or little Susie, what's that smell? And you look at the cup and platter, got all kind of flies, dirt, and nastiness in there. Yeah, that's what people look like. He said, you foolish one, verse 40, you foolish ones. Did not he who made the outside make the inside also, you nitwit? Don't you understand that you can look good on the outside, but the one who created you sees the inside. I made the inside too. But give that which is within as charity, verse 41, and then all things are clean for you. Yes, once you clean the inside, that's what salvation does. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're clothed in his righteousness. Does that mean we walk around with a robe on the outer body? No. Those are spiritual clothes. Righteousness is spiritual, and it's pertaining to our inner man, our inner being, heart, mind, and soul. That's what got a makeover, if you will. That's what was born again. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 23. The Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 23. Jesus at the end of the miracle of the wedding at Cana of Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. Look at verse 23. Another warning to Word of Life. John chapter 2, verse 23. Now, when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, look at this, many believed in his name, observing his signs, which he was doing. At that point, evangelical America would be like, great, many are believing, good enough. But not because Jesus. But, verse 24, contrasting conjunction, Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them. Who was them? The one, the many who were believing. For he knew all men. Verse 25. And because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, because he himself knew, what was in man. Which is to say, he knew the real folks behind the body. He knew the inner being, heart, mind, and soul. I know y'all believe it, but I know it's not real. I'm not going to go whole hog and say, hey, you believe, great. That's why that verse 24 says, but Jesus on his part, as far as he was concerned, he was not going to entrust them to those folks. Because he knew it was really in them. And that's a warning to us. But folks, I believe, and I'm feeling good about Jesus and God and all that. You just be proceed with caution. Proceed with caution. And the reason you proceed with caution is because we are just mere mortals, and we don't see as God sees. Unless God gives you supernatural insight into a person, the real them, you won't know it.
Amen.
But wisdom says, don't just throw yourself behind folks. They say a few things, do a few things. And that's a word from a singer. You know, you be careful. All that glitters ain't God. Amen. Every good man don't mean he's a God man. And then if that's the case, then he's not a good man. Help me somebody. Look at Romans chapter 7. That is a word to us today. You be careful trusting people. I'd rather for you to be distrustful to a fault, if you will, than to just be the other way. I'd rather say, well, come on now, you can trust a little bit. I'd rather spur you that way than to tell you, hey, you trusted too many people.
Yeah.
I'd rather for you to be distrusting and let the Lord tell you what's going on. Be overly that way. Because we can be fooled. We, meaning human beings, we saw it in Samuel. Mighty man of God, prophet of God, fooled by the outside. That's a warning for me personally. I don't know about y'all. That's a warning. I can be fooled. Be careful of pretty, what appears to be beauty and handsome and height and looks and all that. Be careful, careful, careful. Careful now. But I tell you, Romans 7, did I say that? Verse 22. Romans 7, 22. Yeah. You there, Mr. Allen? Mm-hmm. Okay. But, well, yes, ma'am. For I joyfully concur or agree and affirm with the law of God in the inner man. Where is the law of God residing? In the inner man. The real us should be saturated with the law of God in our inner man, our heart, mind, and soul. But I see a different law in the members of my body. Remember, that's the hands and feet, toes, and all that, the body. And by the way, the members of the body, that's what's used to display our false self, if you will, when we're not matching up. How do we display the inner man is born again, and the outer, which is our body, is showing something different? He's just saying that I see a different law in my memory. So my body is not agreeing with what's happening on the inside. Or who I am, who I really am. My body is not exhibiting who I really am. He said, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, my real me, the inner me, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. I mean, we all can attest to it. I feel you. It's a fight every day. It's a war. Your real you and your flesh just going at it. Flesh wants to do this, is demanding, it's screaming, it's trying to dictate. The desire, the lust, the cravings of the flesh can be fierce. And if the real you, your inward man, the real you, if you don't douse that with some Holy Ghost, Word of God water, and that thing continues to burn out of control, you will be doing something really crazy.
Amen.
Really crazy. I mean, you'll shock yourself. Like, wow, am I capable of that? Yeah. I tell you, let's keep coming back. We got to teach on the destructive effects of fleshly rule again. Because it is extremely destructive when your flesh gets in control. You ought to be the most scary. You know what? The enemy that's within you is your flesh. That's a scary dude. And that's every Christian throughout the entire universe. Scary. When we talk about the real you having to keep that dude in check, I'm serious, because if you don't, it can get real ugly. You're not going to lose your salvation, because nobody can snatch us out of God's hand. Once saved, always saved, believing the perseverance of the saints. But I'm not trying to bring God great dishonor and terrible glory by doing something just so ugly and nasty and just out of control, because I didn't step up, meaning the real me, and put that flesh under control. I'm not saying it's easy, it's a war. But we got to do it. We got to fight it. This is real. This is everyday nuts and bolts Christian godly living. It's not cute. It's not pretty. It's not easy. But it's necessary. There's nobody that's going to come up in you and you're having a terrible day and your flesh is just right on the top step of just taking over. There's nobody outside of you that's going to come and say, hey,
come on down, Fletch. Come on down here. I got you. Don't worry about this.
Never. You got to do that. And you got to do that in the face of your flesh that's screaming, I want to kill this dude. Or I want to do some other things. Or whatever. While your flesh is screaming at you, the real you, who's equipped by the Holy Ghost, got wisdom working in there, truth, we went over all of that, counseled by Holy Ghost, it must stand up, symbolically speaking, and say, flesh, shut up. Flesh, shut up. I'm in control. I am a son and daughter of God. Because the Holy Spirit has witnessed to my spirit, letting me know I'm a child of God. And children of God don't act like this. Shut your mouth. That's what you must do. That's what I must do. That's what we must do. Every single day. Because this war wages and it will wage and rage until we die. I don't have no good news for you, man. There's no shortcut. I wish I could tell you that once you hit age 55, it's going to be all over. You good. But it doesn't happen. As a matter of fact, I even got some worser news. That's not a word, but it is tonight. Some worser news, because the more you grow, the more threat you are to the kingdom, the bigger those trials and things come up. And then the two between the ears, the battle rages fiercely right between the ears. Fiercely right between the ears. I deal with that. I thank God for the breakdown of understanding that the real us got to fight our flesh, that we are not our flesh. Amen. Someone said, well, I'm just giving in to, I'm finna do me. No, but you finna do flesh. Yeah. Now that would preach. You're not finna do you, you finna do flesh. Because you is spirit. You are holy. You are righteous. Clothed in his righteousness, empowered with the spirit of the power of God. If you finna do you, that means you finna do God. Amen. I say, flesh, you're not gonna handle me today. And thing about it is, there's always tomorrow. If you messed up today, hang your head and be sad about it, true. But know that the mercies are new every morning. That's where that concept of new every morning comes in.
Amen.
Isn't that good news, Miss Phyllis?
Amen.
That's good news. He does forgive. And the next morning, be like, okay, here we go. Realize who you are and that your flesh is not you. When it's, how many know that your flesh can scream and holler very loudly?
Oh, yes.
Very loudly. Be very demanding, rude, and obnoxious.
Yes, yes, yes.
Your flesh will cuss you out, yes. Symbolically speaking. To get what it wants. That's why the Word of God used things like, King James used things like the desires of the flesh. But you amplify that, when you amplify that word in the Greek, it means cravings, the demands, the dictates. And the desire, it's a strong, intense desire, a strong, intense demand. I want this now. You better let me do this. That's what the flesh is saying. Walk it out, Word of Life. Walk it out, right? Listen to what I'm saying. When your flesh, my flesh, our flesh starts acting, that's what it's doing. I want what I want now. I don't care nothing about God. That's what your flesh is saying to you. And if you don't step on that fool's neck, he'll drag the real you right along with him. Instead of you dragging him. This is the greatest apostle, arguably, on the face of the earth, the Apostle Paul, second only to Jesus, maybe, saying in verse 23, he says, waging war against the law of my mind. That's where the war happens, Word of Life. Flesh is demanding this, You do this with your body. Remember now, it's a war for the exhibition of either godly behavior or fleshly behavior. They're fighting